Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I had to just double check, is that how we introduce our podcast? I feel a bit
rusty. It's been so long. We are back. The summer is over. The summer's not over. I keep saying the summer is over and I'm literally dressed for autumn and really hot, but Vicky is appropriately dressed for the summer weather we're still enjoying in London. But yeah, when was the last time we did... When was our last episode?
I think it must have been a couple of months ago when we last did a joint... It was the quarterly review. The last joint one that we did together.
Oh, the last joint one, yeah. So there you go. 2 months ago.
Wow. Cold season's passed.
Yeah. How have you been? I mean, obviously I know because I have seen you. No one else does. Who's listening?
Oh, what a summer it's been. Got a lot of self-development, a lot of growth, a lot of fun. Fun with friends. I've just come back from an amazing holiday in Spain, celebrating my husband's 40th, which was amazing. A lot of self-care, a lot of self-love. And I just actually shared on Instagram, actually, my first post as being back, after being back after a break, 6 week break from Instagram. Just saying, you know, as you've shared before, we've been doing a lot of self-development work with Dr. Talene,
yes,
as our business coach. And it's been, you know, a lot of highs and some lows, as to be expected when you're raising the bar for yourself and really growing and changing. And I'll share more about that in the coming months. But yeah, it's been a very expansive and fun and love-filled summer.
Yeah, it's very much the same. I just did a reflection on Instagram, actually, like, not because summer has ended, but as the summer holidays were coming to an end, and I just wanted to take a moment and do a, you know, stop and reflect on the past few months, the summer months. I've got a new dream that's come off, actually. So next summer, Sammy's not involved in the decision making, but Fons and I have decided that because Sammy's now starting school this September, that next summer we want to take a proper, like, take the summer off and go traveling in America. So starting visiting friends in Vancouver in Canada, and then we want to make that road trip all the way down the West Coast, all the way down to LA to see the many friends who've migrated over there in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And properly go traveling, make that dream happen. So it's exciting. It's exciting to have that kind of travel dream again.
Yeah.
After what's been about probably 6 years when I last did that same road trip, but without Fons or Sammy in my life. So yeah, but this this summer has, yeah, dreams have come up like that. It's been the same, fun filled. I always think summer is a time for, I can't help it, it's just a time for slowing down.
Yeah.
Like doing less work, more focus on fun and relaxing. But that said, you and I have been through this amazing journey with Dr. Talene, who, I mean, we say this all the time, just thank God for Dr. Talene. she's just incredible. And yeah, we set this for both of us as a year of stepping into our power. And like you say, raising the bar and committing to our dreams. And then you've got to face all the shit that comes up when you do that, which is what kind of inspired the topic to dive into as we enter back into podcast, which is all about upper limiting. If you've not heard about that, we'll explain about that, self-sabotaging and how you need to get out of your own way when you do want to create a life that you love and go after your dreams and really commit to your visions without giving up at the first, second, third hurdle. So let's get into it. You ready?
I'm ready.
We've gone for such a juicy start. Just like a light check-in. Let's go in deep. Let's talk about the ways that we sabotage ourselves in life. Where do you want to start, Vicky, with this? Should we talk a bit about what upper limiting is?
Yeah.
And the way... An amazing book is by Gay Hendricks, called The Big Leap. And you've read it, haven't you, as well?
I've listened to some of it on audio and I've read about it. Yeah, I need to actually finish the audiobook. But yeah. I've heard so much about it.
Yeah. And we've done that. We do that work with Dr. Celine. So she talks about that a lot. And it's so funny because it was actually Emma Gannon is doing a project around self-sabotage. And she put the word out. Can you tell me about examples where you sabotage yourself? And I, at the time, I was like, I don't think I really self-sabotage these days. And then I had, like, literally a week later, a session with Dr. Talene and realised that the question isn't when I do self-sabotage and upper limit myself, but when don't I? Because it's happening all the time. And I think I'd normalised it so much that I didn't even realise I was doing it. So upper limiting, it's this idea that we stop ourselves from experiencing that sort of positive flow in life, from receiving anything from compliments, but really stepping into abundance and love and really appreciating what we have in our lives. We're constantly pulling ourselves back from that and trying to sort of play small, but sabotaging it by stepping into a space of either worry or criticism or blame. Or one of the things that I realise that I do is I sniff out drama any way I can. Either not so much that I create it myself, but I will almost find even where it's happening for other people, and I've done this for a long time, and I'll get involved in their drama and get caught up in that. So what I realised with Dr. Celine and then in answering Emma's questions was that because my upper limiting stops me from really being able to fully be in love with the life that I have. And it is such a great life, but I'm always striving, for the next thing, and always finding things to worry about and stress about and looking for the struggle. So that's my flavour of upper limiting. What's yours?
Well, in prepping for this podcast, I was thinking about what it was like for me when I quit my marketing job that I had been working in full time for a number of years. And we had been running Project Love in the background, but always to the view of us both going full time. And it was like, you know, this major event that was happening, you know, January 2017, both of us going full time on our business. And it was this, you know, amazing thing that I was looking forward to. But as soon as it happened, the first week, particularly, I just felt so anxious. And it's like, this is what I've been wanting. Why don't I feel joyful and excited? And why aren't things flowing? And it was a really confusing time, because it's like, you know, a bit kind of be careful what you wish for, because you've been wanting it for so long. But as soon as it comes, as soon as the change is actually available for you and you're in it, you're able to step into it. That resistance to really stepping into it was really, it was really scary because it's a whole identity change. And you don't realize that while you consciously say you want this positive change, unconsciously there is this fear that, you know, who am I without this problem or issue, or who am I, you know, or who am I to be stepping into this space?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, imposter syndrome can come up. And also it's just about being out of your comfort zone, isn't it? So it's a very unfamiliar space. It's a very uncertain space. I'd never been in that space before. And I was really surprised that all these fears and doubts and worries came up.
Yeah.
And because I didn't know about this process of, you know, I didn't know about the concept of upper limiting at the time. And so I was very confused about it. But now I'm aware of that is an expected part of the process when you're making change, when you're making transformation. And it just makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
But if you're not ready for that, or if you don't expect it, it's such a confusing process to be in, because you're just like, but this is what I've wanted. And then you judge yourself for feeling like that. You know, why don't I feel X, Y, Z, you know, all this expectation that you put on yourself. And then friends say, oh my God, isn't it amazing? You've made this change. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, but why don't I feel, exactly, but why don't I feel happy? Why aren't I enjoying it?
Yeah.
And it's understanding. And this is where Gay Hendricks talks about his thing is worrying.
Yeah.
So he stops himself from being able to enjoy his life, or used to anyway, because he would be worrying about stuff all the time. And he said, the thing is, I was so addicted to that worry, but I believed if I didn't worry all the time, then the world would fall apart. His worrying, he was convinced, was helping him to look ahead and make sure that, you know, make sure everything and everyone was safe. Without that worrying, what, you know, was convinced that bad things would happen. So it was actually learning that he said 99% of our worrying is actually designed to make us suffer and keep us kind of small and not enjoying what we're creating and what we're living. I often find what causes people with upper limiting is, particularly when I'm coaching them through career change, is that this loyalty to their family and a feeling that you're betraying your family if you are allowing yourself to achieve something that they never did. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, it would be, but my family always struggled to make money. Or my family made money, but at huge sacrifice, they weren't happy. So if this person is now realizing that what is possible for them and what they can create for themselves is this new place of earning money, in really good money, enjoying what they're doing, with plenty of self-care going on, it's almost like, this is not allowed. This is too good to be true. This is unrealistic. This is not what my people are allowed. Like, this doesn't... And whether or not their parents are even still alive, they can still feel like, but I'll show them up. I don't want to do that to them. And even if they don't have a good relationship with their parents, alive or not, they can feel like people like me aren't supposed to have this.
Yeah.
And so immediately, right, what kicks in. And it's so interesting what upper limiting sort of symptoms are, because it can be illness, accidents, losing your keys, creating dramas that appear to be completely out of your hands, like you're a victim. And actually, there is evidence to suggest that actually getting ill or having accidents can also be an upper limiting, what's the word, tool, maybe? You've had the illness thing.
Yeah, I had this a few weeks back. We were just about to have a really powerful session with our coach, Dr. Celine, who we mentioned. And I got this 24-hour sickness bug. And I'm never really sick. Like, I was last sick about 5 or 6 years ago. So when I'm sick, it's like a big deal. Like, and it's really quite an emotional experience for me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, this really dramatic 24 hours where I actually, partway through my one-to-one session with Talene, she was saying some, you know, give me very wise advice. And at one point I just felt my whole body come over with this like sudden wave of delirium. And I was like nearly going cross-eyed, and I was like, I just got to go and be sick. And I actually had to run and be sick partway through this coaching session and then come back. Like, you know, it's never happened to me before.
Do you think, does that to you make sense that it was upper limiting on reflection? Because obviously you could argue, well, yeah, or it was a stomach bug.
I don't know. It could have been because, you know, me and you had been out the night before
the same food.
Leftover sort of Mexican, can't remember what it was, like a Mexican wrap. And I thought, I bet it's that, because we had had it in this doggy bag thing, and I had eaten it really late at night when I'd got home, and it didn't look particularly great when I ate it, but I ate it anyway. So I thought immediately, I must be that. But I was also with my friend and their twins the day before, and one of the twins had a sort of sickness or tummy ache and other symptoms. So it could have been that, but I think it's all probably contributing to how I felt. But the thing is, you can't prove these things.
I know.
It could have been psychological, it could have been biological, it could have been emotional, like who the hell knows. But when Dr. Talene was saying, you know, this could be you reaching your limit, because we've been doing a lot of transformational work, and it was leading up to this powerful session and making decisions. And that's also something Gay Hendricks talks about. When you make a decision on something, you can feel this elation that you've made a decision, you know, whatever it is. It could be quite, you know, a decision that will take you down a path, and it could be, you know, a really big deal. sometimes when you make that decision, what follows is this sudden panic. So we start to worry, where is this going to take me? It's going to take me into this place of uncertainty. I'm too far out of my comfort zone. Let's do something to, obviously, unconsciously, to sabotage that success. And, you know, we get in our own way.
Yeah.
And so it could have been that. It could be various things. But that did resonate for me, that it could be, you know, a psychological sort of block.
It was so funny because you had two sessions that day, actually.
Yeah.
One just with Dr. Talene and one of us together. And I got the message from Vicky saying... I've been sick. I don't know, all night or this morning. Dr. T says it's upper limiting. So looks like I'll be on the call anyway. I'm just like, amazing. You go, Dr. T. Make sure she's like, I'm not having that. You will be on the call.
Yeah. Which I'm glad, actually, because sometimes when you push yourself and you're in that really vulnerable space, it was really... I think it was really good for me to have pushed myself then, because it was really going against everything my body was telling me. Yeah. I just needed to shut down my laptop and rest.
Yeah.
And you know, like I do listen to my body and take my cues and, you know, go and I would have usually gone and done that. But as soon as she said, I would just have the session and just see how you go.
Yeah.
I thought, actually, I think this is a time where I just, being curious about the fact that it could have been upper limiting, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I was really out of my comfort zone. I was so vulnerable, so emotional. And I've never really done that before. And it was a really good thing for me to have done that, because things came out of that session that maybe they wouldn't have done if I'd have, you know, waited till the following week when I was all better and, you know.
Exactly. All held together.
Yeah.
All fine. Rather than feeling a bit sort of wobbly. And I think it's always great. You probably find this as well. Mm. Having a session with someone when they're like, they're either coming off the end of an illness and they can't hold it all together. It's like, good.
Exactly.
Less to have to crack
through. No barriers there, then.
Exactly. It's all out there. So I was just back to good old Gay Hendricks and his book, The Big Leap. So I was listening back to it in preparation for this episode. And he was saying that, so what he does is, now having recognized that a lot of the time his worrying is there as a tool to keep upper limiting and to stop the flow of positive energy into his life and to stop him from stepping into a space of abundance and love, is that he catches the worrying thought and he looks at it as an opportunity to just spring into his zone of genius. Mm. So he also talks a lot about the zone of genius, which is just like the place where you're really in flow. And so what he asks himself is, what is the positive new thing that is trying to come through? And then usually for him, he feels it in his body. So he doesn't try to leap to an answer and force an answer. He usually just feels it. And he just feels the positive feeling that's wanting to come through. Then he leans into it. He feels it. And later on, new ideas start coming up around that, that feel far more positive and coming from this space of abundance and this zone of genius. And as I was listening to this, I was like, all right, Gay, you might have slightly lost me now. I'm not sure I can do this. But I tried it today in relation to... this Playmobil petition that I'm doing. And I've had so much, I mean, I found it so challenging and so much worrying and anxiety around it for various reasons. I won't go into it. But as I applied this idea just on the train coming here, it immediately made me see things in a totally new perspective. And like who I can really be stepping into and what space I want to step into and therefore what actions I could be taking of asking people, right, how can I take this forward? You know, the change I want to make, the role I want to play, and suddenly saw it in this whole new, rather than obsessing about fear of rejection or fear of failure, or which is the only place I was living in for most of the time in relation to this, I suddenly was looking at it from this whole new perspective. Mm. I was like, aha, okay, so it's stopping yourself and going, right, I'm living in a place of worry and or drama or blame or criticism. So when it comes to relationships, oh my God, this is me.
Yeah.
And Fons knows this so well, poor guy. Like the moment I will have gone, oh my God, I'm so in love with you, it's ridiculous. Literally an hour or two later, I will be losing the plot about something that's making me furious, about something that he's done or something that he's not doing. And it's just like, that's the pattern. And so as soon as I've opened up to like, God, wow, I'm in a relationship where 5 years in and one child in, I'm so in love. That's not really what I thought was possible. I'm quickly sabotaging it an hour, probably half an hour later sometimes, with bring it back into, no, it's not as good as you think. Mm. And like finding something. He's like, here we go. What a surprise, you're doing this now. I'm like, shit. But of course, at the time, I won't be like responding to it in that way. I'll be like, no, it's because whatever, on my high horse about something. And so he talks about blame and criticism in a relationship is the quickest way to destroy intimacy. Mm. It is the quickest way to put a stop to that good feeling flowing into your relationship. And again, it could be, must be coming back to things like, that's not how I saw long-term relationships modeled. Mm. That's not realistic to be that in love. Like even after 2 years, it's not what I've experienced before. So it's that thing of like what your beliefs are. Mm. And if it doesn't fit in with your belief, let's shut that down, because that's dreamy, unrealistic fantasy that you're stepping into and needs to be shut down.
Mm. He talks about it like a thermostat, doesn't he? Where you have a thermostat that would read the temperature of the room, and if it's too hot, it will cool you down. If it's too cold, it will warm you up. And it's like we have this thermostat. We all have our own inner thermostat. So if we've reached, we could go after a dream or a goal and feel really good about that. But then if we go, we might have then hit that thermostat, and then we want to make another change or do something else that takes us a little bit over that thermostat. It's like it kicks in and brings us back down to the level that in which we're comfortable.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Because you're comfortable with what your own beliefs.
Mm.
And because most of us, we all have a set of limited beliefs, therefore that's where the upper limiting comes into, to make sure we're living within that belief system.
Yes.
So as soon as you're stepping into a new level, whether we're consciously deciding, right, we're going to take this to the next level, or because it's naturally happening, that thermostat thing happens. And it's like, this is, no, this is out of alignment with our beliefs. Bring it down. There we go. There's a little drama. There's a little argument.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can't, because you can't go thinking that you can have this loving relationship. That is not how it works in real life.
Mm.
And that's why so much of the time I'm definitely not allowing myself to really enjoy the amount of abundance and love that I could be enjoying, because I have designed a life, I've really set it up for that to be flowing, and yet a lot of the time I'm putting my no, holding it, you know, I'm the one that's stopping it, because it's there. I've worked hard to allow all that to flow into my life, and yet now I'm working just as hard to make sure I don't experience it. And there I was being like, I don't think I self-sabotage much these days. And I was like, fuck no, because I'm actually doing it all of the time. I just didn't realise what that self-sabotage could look like that.
I also, what you were saying about struggle, like I also do that. I sometimes make things a lot harder for myself when they don't need to be that hard. And a question that Dr. Talene posed in a session recently was, how can I make this easy? And then all these solutions started to flow, and I asked myself that question. But I, because of my belief that in struggle I feel safe, because I know struggle very well, I know it intimately, and so I feel, because it's familiar, I feel safe in that space, I feel comfortable in that space. But as soon as she asked that question, how can I make it easy? It's like, it redirects your attention to a different place, and you start thinking more about creative solutions. You start feeling more resourceful about how you could maybe make some tweaks, and it could be a lot easier for yourself. And to feel, you know, knowing that that's going to be uncomfortable at first because you're not used to it, but stay in that discomfort for a little bit longer than what you would normally allow, and you get through to the other side. But I think so many people don't stay in that discomfort for long enough to really push through and get to the insights and the wisdom that lie on the other side of it. And I see this with clients. Sometimes on the journey of transformation, it gets harder before it gets easier, because all the stuff comes out when you start unraveling, and all these fears and doubts and anxieties come out. But if you stay with that long enough, which takes such a huge amount of courage and bravery to really feel all those fears that are coming up, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. You know, there's a tendency to sort of want to go back to how you were before, when you're more numb to those, because it was maybe more comfortable for you. But it's, you know, having that courage to stick with that first kind of phase when you're really making a big transformation and see it through. You get to the other side and you think, oh my God, I'm so glad I did that hard work to get to that place where now I know what was keeping me stuck.
Mm.
And yes, of course, everybody has, you know, a deep fear of rejection and a deep fear of abandonment. We all do. But when you practice compassion with yourself and know that it's part of being human, we don't like uncertainty as human beings. We don't like the unknown.
Yeah.
But when you allow it to be there, you allow all the feelings that come through, you know, all the ups and the downs, and you know that the journey of transformation isn't going to be linear. You know, there's all sorts of ups and downs and twists and turns in the road, and that is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that is the process when you're going through change. But when you expect that, it's so much easier.
That is the key. It's knowing what to expect and knowing that that is normal. And even going through it myself, I forget that. And then I start thinking, oh, all that discomfort. I think this is a sign that I actually don't want to do this.
Mm.
I think this is a sign that this is not right for me. And that's the bit, that's the danger. It's just like, hold on. You need to work through this. Because it might be, that might be the case. But actually, or this isn't the right direction for me. Or maybe right now doing this work isn't the right thing for me. It's just like, no, there's no way of avoiding this discomfort part, this painful part. You can come back to it in a year's time. It will be here waiting for you. There is no clever way to get around it. But once you understand that and you have people going, I know. This is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Just stick with it. Then it's like, oh, okay. My commitment to struggle has also been something that I've been really working with Dr. Talene. We really should have Dr. Talene here speaking with us, and we will have her back. We can just be praising her and bringing her many insights to this episode. But what she helped me to see was how much my struggle will shift shape. So it will be in, you know, it will, if it's not in the work area, it will be in the relationship area. If it's not the relationship area, it will be in the parenting area. If it's not parenting, I'll be home. It'll be anything. Like, it has to have somewhere. So once it's suddenly, oh, look, it's no longer in this area in my life, it's like, oh, here we go. And we dug into why I seek out the struggle, and I need to have the struggle. And a big part of it was feeling like, but if I don't, then my fear was of disconnect. So I won't be on the ground with everyone else struggling. Like, it's all right, we're all in it together. If suddenly I'm like, it's all right, guys, I'm not struggling over here, people are like, ooh, and who are you to not be struggling? That's my fear, rather than thinking of it like, well, then can't you help others who are in, obviously some people are in genuine struggle, but a lot of the struggle, it's struggle we're creating for ourselves. But it's recognizing how much I felt that if I didn't have struggle and didn't have this narrative around struggle, that then I would suddenly be all on my own and no longer part of the struggle crew, which is most of life. And so it takes real courage to go, do you know what? I don't actually need to be bringing this struggle in myself. And someone said this to me recently, this really old man, I can't remember quite the words he said, but it was something along the lines of, life gives you enough struggle as it is, you don't need to bring your own along to the party. Something, I'm paraphrasing. But I was just like, God, you're so right. He's just like, so where you can, make it as easy as possible. And because life is always going to, you know, you're always going to have your moments of struggle that you can't control. So therefore, you don't need to bring your own, you know. And it's so true. And that's really what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, that really resonated with me as well. I think that my fear is that I would lose respect from people. If I'm not in struggle and life is easy for me, then I would be, again, it comes back to rejection and abandonment, as you were talking about just now. You would be cast aside because people can't relate to you anymore, or people can't, connection.
Yeah, and it's just that, like you were saying, relatability. If I'm not struggling, then how can I connect with you who are struggling? And therefore, I'm going to make sure I keep creating struggle while having no notion that I am creating unnecessary fucking struggle in my life. It's so annoying. Mm. But it's so good. It's just bringing, as with everything, you start bringing that awareness to it.
Yeah.
And like Gay Hendricks said, and I'm really going to start looking at this, that 99% of the time our worrying is designed just to make us suffer.
Mm.
It is unnecessary. And now he uses his moments of worry as a flag, as a tool to help him into that flow and into that positive flow, going, okay, well, if the worry is there, then it's highlighting the fact that something, the thermostat is saying, uh-oh, you're coming to a new upper limit.
Yeah.
So therefore, what is it that's wanting to come through that is positive, that therefore the worry is turning up, saying, oh, no, let's keep this away. And it's like, whoa, hold on. Let's keep what away exactly? Let's check that out. Mm. And it's just like, oh, okay, so we can start using it as a tool.
Yeah.
So just that exercise that he recommended is, if you find yourself, there's drama going on, or there's suddenly an increased struggle or worry, or you're criticizing someone, or you're criticizing yourself, or you're blaming all these things, or deflecting. That's another great one, he says. Ask yourself, what is the positive thing that is wanting to emerge, that's wanting to come through? Which at first you will probably not have an actual answer for. Just feel it.
Yeah.
Feel that positive thing that's wanting to come through. And then see over the course of the next few hours or the course of that day, around that area, around that topic, what new perspective, what new perhaps positive solutions or positive ideas start to come through. I think also trusting that you can put in a question like that, your logical mind will not come up with an answer. It'll be like, this is ridiculous. It's not going to work. So don't worry about the logical mind coming up with something, but put it in, plug the question in, and then trust that if you really surrender to, okay, something positive really is wanting to come through, allowing that positive feeling and then seeing what comes up. And honestly, I did it today. Well, a big dose of cynicism going, oh God, is this really going to work? And it really did. Really did. So that's definitely one thing for people to try out.
Yes. And also journaling. If you find that you're really emotionally triggered and you feel, you know, your fears are being triggered, take a moment, take 20 to 30 minutes and just write 3 pages on what's going on for you. Just write a stream of consciousness and just see what comes out. Give yourself a bit of space to explore what those fears really are. Like, what's causing me to feel scared right now? And journal on that, or take a walk in nature and just allow yourself to reflect on it. Give yourself a bit of time to explore those fears.
Yeah, or my new version of journaling, which is to talk into a voice note.
Yes, or the audio journaling. I love that.
Which I got another client, she's doing it, who lives near me, and she started doing it. I was like, great. In Southeast London, there's all sorts of people walking around now, speaking to themselves, essentially, into their phone.
Yep.
Just, you know, stepping out of that upper limiting and getting into their positive flow.
Well, a client was telling me how she started talking to herself more. I was like, oh, it's just called audio journaling. And then when you've got a label on it like that, it's like, oh, cool, that's what I'm doing. I'm not talking to myself.
I'm just audio journaling. I love that. I hadn't even thought of it like that either. Oh, yeah. Let's all start audio journaling. Amazing. But that does make a difference. You can get all the feelings out, but then go, okay. And it is about getting right. How can I look at this from, how could I make this easy?
Yeah.
How could I take the struggle out? Okay. How can I see things from their perspective?
Yeah.
How can I come to this from a place of love?
Yeah.
If I was standing in a space of abundance, looking at my, you know, money situation, how would I do things? Whatever it is, how would I do things differently? How would I look at things differently? But I think the main thing is really recognizing that this is what we do. This is what we do as human beings. And I definitely recommend The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
And we also definitely recommend Dr. Tilleen.
Yes, we do.
Dr. Tilleen, TILEAN.com.
And also just practice kindness and compassion with yourself as you go through this, and know that it is part of the process, be incredibly loving to yourself while you go through it, because it isn't pretty. You know, it's really can be really, really hard, really challenging.
It really isn't. And if you're committed to designing a life you love and allowing yourself to dream and making those dreams happen, then this is going to be part of that journey, because every time you commit to a new dream, you then are coming up against your own beliefs, which yeah. will be limited to a certain point.
Yeah.
And now you're wanting to stretch beyond that. So it's gonna this is gonna be happening.
Yeah, and it's the same process whether you're wanting to make a big change and transformation in your love life, you want to find love, you have a dream of being in an amazing, loving, secure relationship, or you dream of having a career that you love, or you dream of just, you know, living yeah. a life you love, whatever the change is, this is the process that we go through.
Yeah.
So expect that.
Expect it. Exactly.
And just practice courage. You know, once you know that this is what's happening, you're sabotaging your own success, and, you know, be curious about that and practice compassion with yourself. Just keep taking steps out of your comfort zone and keep yeah. practicing courage.
Yeah. And I think recognizing that when you realize you've been doing it, you then are in a position to be able to do things differently.
Yeah.
And you can come from a different place and step into a new space of abundance and love. And that is what happens when you confront that upper limiting behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's on the other side waiting for you, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So talking of designing a life you love, allowing yourself to dream and make those dreams come true. Vicky, what have we each got in our hands right now that you, dear listener, cannot see but will soon see?
We have a brand new copy of the Goodbye 2019 Hello 2020 journal, holding it in our hands.
Yes, and this year we have partnered with Pavilion, the wonderful publishers who are going to help us take this even further this year, which was our dream, was to team up this year with a publisher, and Pavilion had just been absolutely amazing. And we've had the amazing designer Caterina Bianchini, with the amazing name, has created the most beautiful looking journal. It's currently on pre-order. So if you go to Amazon, whichever Amazon country you buy from, and look up Goodbye 2019, Hello 2020, will pop up and you can pre-order and or add it to your wish list, and it will really help us if you do that. Even if just adding it to your wish list helps us go up in the Amazon algorithms or wherever we need to be in to help this spread even further. But yeah, it's so exciting. We're looking at it right now on Amazon for the beautiful pages. You can have a look through and see what the new design is like. And yeah. I think if you did the journal before, I think you're going to really enjoy this new look and feel. It's got
it
like a
feels
whole like
great.
Oh, it's so sexy. Oh my God, I can't wait to get started in it.
Yeah.
Got a few more months yet
it's
to
so
do that.
So bold and vibrant.
Yeah, it's, oh, look at that hot pink. Amazing. So yeah. That's we've been sitting on this news, the fact that we'd partnered with Pavilion for ages wanting to tell you, but we were asked to wait until it was all ready to show off and have you be able to pre-order, add to your wish list, and yeah, let people know about it. And then it goes on sale properly, doesn't it, beginning of October?
Yeah.
But yeah, exciting. Bring on the autumn winter season.
Woo.
Oh, it's
new
so,
season
so much
of podcasts.
Stuff happening.
Exciting news to share. Podcast back.
We're back.
We're
How
back.
Does it feel to be back?
It feels really good to be back.
I've been loving doing this episode. I was welling up when you were talking earlier. I was just like, this is so good. This is so good to be back and doing episodes again. I've missed it, but it's been good. It's been good. We needed the break to dive deep into all this.
Yeah. Well, the first time
journey.
We did the podcast was 2014, so we were really, you know,
we were due a break.
We were really due a break after
we
5 years.
We were due a summer off.
So yeah, it's so good to be back. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and do pre-order the journal and get in touch about coaching, and we'll be back next week.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.